All right, Rabosai, good evening, good evening. Let us begin. So we have a lot to do tonight. So we're doing three things tonight. Number one, we are finishing up the Maamar Kamos from last week. That's the first order of business. We left off at source number 16 from last week's shiur. So we're going to finish up the last couple of Maamar Kamos. That was Kotzer part 2. And then Emirat Hashem, then we're going to move on to Kotzer part 3. Finish up Emirat Hashem the Malacha of Kotzer, and then Emirat Hashem B'Sha'atov U'Masachas, we're going to begin another Malacha of Ma'amer of gathering tonight. So all happening in the course of the next 40 minutes or 45 minutes. Emirat Hashem B'Sha'atov U'Masachas. So let's continue first with source number 16. So remember again, we were speaking about the number 16 from the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos HaShayachos Levayis. He quotes over here a very interesting idea, a very interesting case. So remember, we've spoken about the idea, obviously, that part of the Din D'Rabbanan, the Gzera D'Rabbanan of Kotzer, is not being able to utilize a tree. Right? We saw, again, you can't use the tree directly. We saw Tzdadin, Tzidea Ilon last week. The only thing that's permitted is Tzidei Tzdadin, two steps removed from the tree. So what about the interesting case about the following situation? So imagine, again, you're walking home from shul, and what happens? Your hat blows off and lands on a tree. Hat blows off and lands on a tree. So what should one do in such a situation? If you don't want to use the hat as the accessory, you could fill with it. You could, whatever it is, your yarmulke falls off, right? Your scarf falls off. An article of clothing falls off and falls on the tree. So take a look at number 16, the footnote over here, right? Something very interesting. It says, Ulam nira, digami neima delekicha me'ila negufa ishtamsho. So remember again, the concept ultimately, again, of going ahead and utilizing a tree or taking something off a tree. Let's remember again, we saw this in last week's shiur. Excuse me. The interesting distinction as to what was the nature of the prohibition of removing something from the tree. Is removal from the tree considered to be active usage of the tree? Or maybe, again, removal from the tree is just something lest you come to lean on the tree and actively utilize the tree. So he writes over here something very interesting. That even if you say that removing something from the tree is actual usage, let's say for argument's sake, that's actual usage. He says, Kmo shekasav Rashi v'arashba mikol makom af ledido. So this is actually very interesting. By the way, if you don't have the sheets, I didn't print out extra copies, but it's on the chat. It's still on the WhatsApp chat from last week as well. I'm sorry. I should have printed out additional copies. My apologies. So even if you hold that halacha lemaisa, that removing something from the tree is considered to be actual usage of the tree, he says that's only if what? That's only if that's your kavana. It's only if you're kavana. He says, So for example, what's the issue? If I put something on the tree before Shabbos, and I know, I'm sorry, and I know that I'm going to have to use that item, I'm going to need it. I know, should have brought enough of the whole share. There's tea later on. I'm good. I just have to thank you. And I know that I place something on the tree. I know that I'm going to have to take it off the tree on Shabbos in a way, ultimately, again, that is going to require me to use the tree. That's where taking something off the tree is considered to be a bona fide form of ishtamshus. I set it up so that by definition, I'm going to have to end up utilizing the tree. However, he says, in this case, he says, "Aval kishe isrami shelo birtzono sheparcha taliso al ilon verotze lachzir alav bazeh lo kosvo harashi varash bokein demato elis lo mea ilon v'yoser hayenoach lo ilo parcha al ilon." So this is fascinating. So when do we say that removing something from a tree is considered to be usage of the tree? That's when it was placed on the tree b'kavana. Right, you place it on a tree b'kavana, now you want it off. This is part of a premeditated act. However, he says something very interesting. He quotes over here the idea that if something blows onto the tree, removal from the tree is not called hishtamshus. It's not called usage of the tree. Why? Because if it was up to me, what? I would have rather the item not blown on there to begin with. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, he quotes over, and it's really quite interesting, that halacha lemaisa, if your yarmulke, your hat, your scarf blew onto a tree, blew onto a bush, because they're going to say, it doesn't have to be a tree, right? It's any growth from the ground that is lemala megimel tfachim. That's what's subject to this halacha. So your yarmulke blows off, it falls onto a bush, can I take it off the bush? So he posits over here that the halacha is absolutely yes. you can take it off. Aye, what about hishtamshus? What about if you go with the approach that removing something from the tree is considered to be hishtamshus from the tree? It's only hishtamshus if it was placed there bekavana in a premeditated act. But lamaisa, because it was not placed there, but rather, again, as far as you're concerned, you would have rather it was never there to begin with, removal is not considered to be hishtamshus. Interesting idea. Yes?
So, I don't know, remember my question about the chumash?
The chumash, yes.
On the tree branch or something?
Right.
But let's say you put it on there. You didn't premeditate it, put it on there. You just set it down there. You weren't thinking about it.
But that's still called for this halacha, premeditated. That's still called for this halacha. In other words, premeditated just means you had kavana to put it down, as opposed to in this case, where clearly I didn't have any kavana at all.
So if it was going to rain, what would your answer be?
Cover it up. Cover it up with something, don't take it down. That would seem to be the halacha in that case.
Okay.
Yes.
What if someone else that you put your thing on the tree and you'd want them to, or you know that they would?
It doesn't seem to make a difference. It's not a din in you. It's a din in the usage of the tree. It seems the halacha is that if something was intentionally put there, then by definition there's an issur to take it off. But if it just blew on there, and I don't think it matters who put it on there, but if it blew on there like this case, that's where it'd be at the heter. But also, just as an aside, by the way, I don't think I mentioned this last week, but obviously we know also, what about the following case? So this is a case where I was wearing my yarmulke, it blew off. What about the following case? What I was saying that was on the tree and ultimately was blown off the tree and now is off the tree. So let's say, Matt's chumash case. I put the chumash on the tree and then the wind came, blew off the chumash. Can I pick up the chumash? Well, chumash is probably not the best idea because kisvei kodesh on the ground is going to be something different. But whatever, I put an object on the tree. The wind blew it off. Am I allowed to go ahead and now utilize that object? So remember again, This goes back to a concept we actually learned in Hilchos Muktzah. Right? In Hilchos Muktzah, we have the concept that when something was set aside for non-use during Bein HaShemashos on Shabbos, Bein HaShemashos at the onset of Shabbos, it retains that identity throughout the entirety of Shabbos. So halacha lemaisa, if something was on the tree during Bein HaShemashos of Shabbos, even if it subsequently blew off, it is still going to remain usur for use. We're going to see this. Where does this come up? What's going to be the most notable case of this? You have an apple tree. And what happens? An apple blows off the tree on Shabbos. So are you allowed to go ahead and eat that apple on Shabbos? So we're going to see the halacha is no. Right? Why is the halacha no? Because it's muktzah. Because since Bein HaShemashos, it was attached to the tree. Remember, again, the muktzah identity of any particular item is concretized Bein HaShemashos. Zevi, what's wrong? I'm sorry? It's not nola because it was there. It was there.
Apple was
on the tree. It's not no lud. Why would it be no lud? I don't think it's no lud. Right? I can make it even better. It's a fully grown apple that doesn't even need the tree anymore. Right? But Pashtos is going to be muktzah because Miko deskatzoi. Okay. Take a look at number 17. Another application of this halacha. Hados mechuber. If you have a hados, what's the English? Myrtle branch, right? Myrtle branch. Mutala riachbo. So listen to this. You have a myrtle tree. You go over to the myrtle tree. You want to smell the hadasim. You're allowed to. Shulchan Aruch paskens, you can smell it on Shabbos. However, aval esrog v'tapuach v'chol davar roi lachila. But any item, like he gives the example of an esrog or an apple, that is fit for consumption, asr lahariachbo mechuber. You are not allowed to smell it while it is attached. Why? Shemi yakutz also li achlo. We are concerned lest you come to go ahead and what's going to happen? You're going to smell the apple. It's so delicious. And just inadvertently, what's going to happen? You're going to pull it off. You're going to pull it off and want to eat it. Okay, so both sides. So really interesting distinction. So really the way the Shulchan Aruch says is this issue of smelling something fragrant only applies to food items. You can't do it if it's a food item, lest you come to detach it. Non-food items, you are permitted to smell for their fragrance. Take a look at number 18. So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says, "Mocha lahariach, talo shayich lemigzar shema yakutz." Mishnah Berurah says, why aren't we concerned? Why aren't we concerned that what? Maybe halacha lemaisa again, you're going to come to detach. Take. You're going to come, you can actually even take a few back. I'm sorry, I meant to place some more back over there. Why aren't we concerned that maybe you're going to come to detach the myrtle branch? So he says over here, Keva shen rotze rak lahariach, v'zeh yochuhu lasos af b'mechuber. So we'll say, the whole chap with the hados, what's the only thing you're doing with the hados? The only thing you're doing it You're smelling it. That's all. There's no other use. So therefore, by definition, there's no chashash that I'm going to come to detach it, since the only use of it is for fragrance, and I could be nana from the fragrant scent while it is still attached. He goes on, he says, v'yish machmirim bazeh. Others are machmir with this. Others say, you can't smell anything that is attached to the ground. So I will say, on Shabbos is the one time in life, do not stop and smell the roses, right? So this is machlokes. Yish machmir bazeh. V'kasa b'Eliyahu Rabba, da'ikar kipsaka shulchan aruch. So we'll say, ultimately, the Eliyahu Rabba, however, says, it should not be machmir. It should not be machmir. That halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, you are allowed to smell something that is fragrant but not edible, but not permitted to smell something that is edible and detached. So we'll say, and this is how we paskin halacha l'maisa. The Rabba says, we go at the psak of the shulchan aruch, so you can smell the flowers, you can smell the myrtle branches, but you can't smell the apples or smell another food item.
You have a pot of roses that are outside in the front, and then they've been replanted into ground. I mean, obviously,
yeah, it still has the same halacha. Same, that is, just because something is replanted, it still retains its same exact halacha. Yes, sir.
An apple that you described, like ready to eat, that you come upon under a tree, do you have to assume it fell off on Shabbos, or could you pick it up and eat it?
Oh, so actually you're going to see that. Baruch Shekivanta. That was a great lead-in. Okay. We'll say that is the end of Kotzer Part 2. Now with Avi Shaila, we're going to go to Kotzer Part 3, which is only just a couple of Marimakomos. It's only 6 Marimakomos. It's the first page on your first page on your source packet over here. So we'll say, here we go. So Avi, we're going to come back. Actually, I don't know why I put it this way, but we're going to come back to actually Avi's case in just a moment. First, a little bit of just a detour. Take a look at number 1. Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, let's go out of order. Let's keep it going with the fruit. So take a look at number 4. Right. So now we've established Shulchan Aruch paskind. Shulchan Aruch paskind. Halacha l'maisa, you can smell, let's say hadasim, flowers, right? Other things like that, non-edible items. Since you're only utilizing it for fragrance, we're not considering it a detach. You cannot smell attached fruit or vegetables. Why? Again, logical concern. You may come to go ahead and detach it. Now, let's take a look at number 4. Peros shenashu min ha'ilan b'Shabbos. What happens if fruit fell off of a tree on Shabbos? Right, like Ivy's case, I'm walking in my backyard, I'm walking anywhere, and what happens is an apple on the ground. Apple on the ground. So am I allowed to eat it on Shabbos or not? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that fruit that fell from the tree on Shabbos, asurim bo bayom, they are usur that day, ula erev mutar miyad. And at night, ultimately, again, the fruit is immediately permissible. Take a look at number 10. Why are the fruit usur? He says, mishum shemayala biyitlosh vegam mishum mukta. So the truth is, Mishnah Berurah says, there's really two reasons why the fruit that fell from the tree is going to be asur. Number one of us, we get to the general idea that we are concerned that if we allow you to go ahead and consume detached fruit from the tree, then what's going to happen? You may come to go ahead and actively detach fruits from the tree. So it's gzeira. Now, we'll say, what's interesting is, and you find this a lot of times in Hilchos Shabbos, is like multi-levels of gezeiros, right? That kind of dine, these are all dine d'rabbanon, but yet, interestingly enough, they all pile one upon the other. So therefore, number one, you can't eat the fruit that fell off the tree, lest you come to detach other fruits from the tree. That's number one. Number two, the Mishnah Berurah says, there's a muktzah issue. Like this is what we just mentioned before. What's the muktzah issue? Once something was attached to the tree, throughout the duration of Ben Hashmashos, right, the twilight period of the entry of Shabbos, whatever you are, Ben Hashmashos, that's what you remain for the duration of Shabbos. So therefore, if the apple was attached to the tree over the course of Ben Hashmashos, even though it subsequently falls off, it was established as muktzah and removed from use for Shabbos. So therefore, Halacha L'maaseh can use the Haya Az Mechubar, so since again Ben Hashmashos, it was attached to the tree. Therefore, is katsoi l'kulei yoma, it is set aside for non-use for the entirety of the rest of Shabbos. So therefore, I'm going to say, two reasons why the fallen apple will be prohibited. Number one, gzeira shemiyala v'yitlosh, you may go up and detach it. And number two, a muktzah issue. Now, take a look at number 6. Now, to Avi's question, which is, so now I come upon the apple. Now, both say, let's go through this, right? It's Shabbos afternoon, or Shabbos, whatever, Shabbos after davening, I'm coming home, I see an apple on the ground, right? Now, again, here's what I know. I know the apple's not on the tree. What don't I know? When did it fall off? Now, both say, now, obviously, if it fell off on Shabbos, it's going to be awesome, right? So that we've already established. But there's also the possibility that it fell off before Shabbos. I don't know. I wasn't in the backyard before Shabbos. So maybe it fell off before Shabbos. So now we have a suffix. Now we'll say, now again, it would be tempting to say, how do you resolve this halacha? Bepashto says, it should be a suffix dirabon on the kula. But again, Hilchos Shabbos has all types of chumras built into it. Take a look at number 6. Perosh and Shruva filu im suffix shema nashru b'Shabbos gamkin aser. Now we'll say, now what's interesting is the Mishnah Berurah brings down, even if it's a suffix, did the apple fall down before Shabbos, on Shabbos, that's still going to be Asra as well. Sefer Rabbos say, therefore, in the wide world of fruit, here's what we have. So number one, I can't smell attached fruit or vegetables. That's number one. Number two, even if the fruit falls off on Shabbos, it's still going to be Asr. Why? Two reasons. Number one, if we're concerned, if we allow you to eat it, you may come to what? Detach additional fruit. Number two, what's number two? Muktza issue. Right, migu des katzoi. Since it was mukta at the onset of Shabbos, remains mukta. And even if halacha lemaisa, it's a safek. Did it fall on Shabbos? Did it fall before Shabbos? I still can't eat it. Gzeira, ultimately, again, gzeira, lest you come to pick it off the tree. Yes.
Someone accidentally puts their hand on Shabbos and then the wind blows it off. Would it be mukta? I mean, because it wasn't something
in Shabbos, but maybe something out of it. Yeah, it would still be that. Any time you put something on a tree, even though, again, it's quote-unquote accidental, in other words, but you did it. You know, there's a direct action, then halacha l'maisa, you can't... Oh, you're saying on Shabbos, and now it blew off.
On Shabbos, then it wouldn't blow it off. So now it's on the floor.
Yes, it's mutar.
But you don't say,
not in that kind of case. There's Shema Yala v'yitlosh, because remember, Shema Yala v'yitlosh applies to produce, where technically speaking, if you detach it, it's an Isser Da'oraisa. Shema Ya'ala V'yitlosh would not apply to items for which there would not be an Isser Da'oraisa. Right? So go, in other words, remember, the worst case scenario is if you put your hat on the tree and you went back and got your hat afterwards, you're over on a Din D'Rabbanan. Once the hat has been blown off, it's totally mutter to pick it up. Right? The Din of being prohibited to pick something up after it's blown off the tree is only a Din by produce. Only produce. Good. But let's go back to number one.
Fell on Shabbos or not? Safek
Drabbanon.
Is there a specific reason why there are more machmir on this?
Hilchos Shabbos. You find multiple examples of Safek Drabbanon l'chumra. Yeah, I guess it's just the formulation of Hilchos Shabbos that even Drabbanon are not always, but very often Drabbanon are dealt with l'chumra.
Well, here you could say it's a negotiation
material. But you can say that with almost anything on Shabbos. Sorry? You can say that with anything on Shabbos. Right, then you use right. But I'm saying, but technically speaking, anything that's Asr on Shabbos is going to be Mutter Masay Shabbos. But maybe take a look at the morning. We'll say one more application of Kotzer. Then we're going to make our siyum on Hilchos Ketzira. So take a look. Number one, another application. Ein roch bin agabe behema. You cannot ride an animal on Shabbos. Velo nitlim Allah, nor can you hang anything, or literally you can't hang on the animal on Shabbos. Haga. So we'll say, what's wrong? What's wrong with the usage of the animal on Shabbos? So besides the idea that there is a din of shrisas behema, of allowing your animals to rest, which we'll talk about, the Shulchan Aruch over here discusses the concept that you're not allowed to ride an animal for another associated reason as well, which is, look at the Mishnah Berurah number 2, in Rochbin, Gezira Shemayach Toch Zimura Mina Mechuber, Kadelan Higa, so here it is, fascinating. So why can't you ride an animal on Shabbos? Because halacha lemaisa, again, we're concerned in general when you're riding an animal, what do you need? You need like a little stick or something to go ahead and lead the animal. We're concerned that if we let you ride an animal on Shabbos, you may come to detach the stick to go ahead and use it to lead the animal. Fascinating. So the next Mishnah Berurah, number 3, he says, velo nitlim aleh, So this is interesting. So halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. any type of usage with animals on Shabbos is going to be aser. Right? Why? Lest you come to break off the branch. Now, and Yedidya, this is to your point. Even in a case where there's no concern you're going to break off a branch. What's a case where there's no concern you're going to break off a branch? He says, Kigon Bamidbar Delecha Zimura Ola Shaf Shefesatino Kagai Behem Kedele Shasheo So Gamkin Aser Delo Plug Rabbanon Bimil Sayhu. So Shabbos says, so even in a case, ultimately, again, where halacha lemaisa, you're not going to break off a branch. You know, his case over here is where you want to calm down a baby. So you kind of just want to, like, let it, like, bounce it on the animal a little bit. Still, you can't do that either, even though, again, I'm not going anywhere. But lemaisa, again, any hishtamshus, any usage, ultimately, again, with an animal on Shabbos, is going to be aser alt this gezerah of kotzer. Now, if you go back up to number one for just a moment, so it's interesting that Amar adds in over here, it says, Hagah, Va'asra leishev al karon she'inu yehudi manhigo b'shabbos mishum shemishtamish bebehema gam shelo yachtok zimora. So we'll say, so it is. It really is interesting to see how far the dinei d'rabbanan. Here the Rama says, you can't go in a wagon that's being led by an animal, even if a non-Jew is leading the animal. Right? Why? Because as you begin to see, Rabbi say, is included in this din d'rabbanan ultimately. Is any usage of an animal on Shabbos?
Yeah.
I'm sorry? So right now we're focusing on ktsira. It's kotzer. It's kotzer. Any use of an animal may lead you to break off a branch. That's where focus on. Shvi says we're going to deal with separately in Meretz Hashem. But right now our focus ultimately here is because of kotzer. So what's interesting over here is, remember, the use of the wagon, almost, you know, like, if you think about it, almost seems like tzidei, right? Or tzidei tzdadim, right? But again, but halach lamaisa, any use of the animal ultimately is going to remain permitted. Prohibited, excuse me, al-skatsir, yes.
What's the hashkaf behind the law to Rabbanon?
I think it's the chumra of Shabbos. Well, in general, lo plug Rabbanon? Well, because legal systems have to work with blanket assumptions. In other words, you can't start making halacha that selectively applies here, doesn't apply over here. So if the Rabbanan are going to make a halacha, it applies to every case, even if technically speaking, your particular case does not conform to the reason they made the halacha. And by Hilchos Shabbos, we see even a more general application of this to be even on multiple levels of the Rabbanans. So we'll say, Shkoyach, that is the end. So we did three parts in Kotzer. Shkoyach, that is the end of the Malach of Ketzira. We'll say again, I know that these early Malachos in Hilchos Shabbos are not as exciting as typical Hilchos Shabbos. But again, remember, the great part about this is, we're learning these Malachos that people often, yes, Ami? I mean, they don't have to lock it up per se. No, so that's not a problem. In other words, any malacha that gets done by an animal of its own volition is not a problem, right? The animal relieves itself and thereby fertilizes the field. That's fine. It's just, again, I just want to point out there's a secondary malacha over here, shvisas beima, of not allowing your animals to work, which we're not focusing on right now, right? But we'll get to that in Meretz Hashem. So I was saying, I know that these malachas aren't necessarily. Not all of them have the same, like, lemaisa applications. But again, remember, let's keep our eye on the ball. The goal is, in Meretz Hashem, in a couple of months from now, when we're finished with all 39 malachas, in Meretz Hashem, a couple of months, in Meretz Hashem. So, you know, again, we will have seen, literally, again, from one end to the other in Hilchos Shabbos, a very rich limb. So we'll say with that, we move on to the halachos of Ma'amer. So we'll say this is the second page in tonight's handout. So, shir number one in Ma'amer. We'll probably have to do this week, Emir Hashem, and next week as well. So here we go. So we always start with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, Masechet Shabbos, Ayin Gimel Adalit, Avos Malachos, Abraham Chaser Echad. There are 39 Malachos. So we'll say it's exciting, because now we can kind of go through and begin to see everything. So we've already done Zorea, Choresh, Kotzer. So again, Baruch Hashem, we're three down already. And now we're up to Malacha number four, Ma'amer. So we translate Ma'amer ultimately as gathering. So where was gathering? Where was this malacha done on the Mishkan? So once again, Rashi points out to number two, Aval kulhu kamaisa havi b'samemanim shal tseva t'chiles v'argamon v'tola'as shani. So Rashi points out over here, we'll say, where was Ma'amer? Where was gathering done? Where was gathering done? Same place that Zorea, Choresh, and Kotzer was done, which according to Rashi was what? For the earth, for the da'a, for the... Yeah, for the herbs. Yeah, for the plants. For the plants, ultimately, again, that would be used to create the dye. We also see other Rishonim will say, would indicate where else was Ma'amer done for what? For what?
Wood.
I'm sorry?
Gathering wood.
Good, we're going to talk about that, actually. We're actually going to talk about that. But again, Pasha Pshayim, before we get into gathering wood, Lechem Aparim. Lechem Aparim, right? Remember, again, for the bread. Obviously, again, for bread, you need wheat, you need flour. So obviously, all of these malachas would not have just been done for the dyes, but would also have been done for the production of the Lechem Haponim. Good. So we'll say, let's begin tonight in number three, in a really incredible piece by the Chai Adam. So this is an important Chai Adam, because the Chai Adam really outlines the parameters of this malacha. It's not going to be the full parameters, but at least allows us to get started. So here we go. Number one, says the Chai Adam, Ein imur ela bigidule karka. Now we'll say, now some of these things we're going to talk about a little more, because some of them are somewhat contested. But right now, we'll just go with the Chai Adam as he's espousing it. Number one, Ma'amer only applies to things that grow from the ground, right? Which makes sense, because Halacha L'maaseh, that's where it was done in the Mishkan, right? Gedulei Karka, either the herbs, the spices, the dyes, the wheat. So number one, only Gedulei Karka. Next, the Inyanai Imorho. So what is the Malacha of Ma'amer? What is it? He says, Shema'aseif shibalim operos o eitzim b'makom gidulan. So we'll say this is fascinating. What's fascinating about some of these malachas, we'll say, is we don't necessarily ever hear of them, because lav davka that you come in contact with them on a regular Shabbos. Listen to this. So what's the malach of Ma'amer? The malach of Ma'amer is taking produce, things that grow from the ground, that are scattered. Now, where are they scattered? They're scattered in the very place that they grew, and you pile them up. You gather them up to put them into a pile. That is the malacha of Ma'amer. So the example he gives is tevuah. We'll say, so what happens with wheat? What happens with wheat? Right, you take your sickle, you harvest your wheat. What happens after you harvest the wheat? What happens after you do that? Right, so it's on the ground, right? But it's scattered. So what's the next step? After kotzer, what do? Right, you gather all the wheat together into a pile. That act of gathering and putting it into a pile, that is called Ma'amer. That is called Ma'amer. So in order to violate Ma'amer, what do you have? Number one, Gidulei Karka, that's from the ground. Number two, the piling is done in the very place where the object grew. This is very important, I'll say. So we'll see. Well, he goes on. He says, Aval, shelo b'makom gidulan, afa pishen gidulei karka, mutter lekabtzan. Now let's say, interestingly enough, you could gather things together and put them into a pile if you're doing so not in the place where they grew. I'll give you a perfect example of this. So let's say, again, just keeping with the wheat motif over here, right? If you cut down wheat, you go out and you put it in your storehouse. So now you have wheat piled all, right, scattered all over the place in the storehouse. The act of gathering the wheat in a pile in the storehouse is not Ma'amer. It's mutter, says the Chai Adam. It's mutter. Now, I want to say, come on, this seems to be ripe for a gzer drabanon. Right, that we should say, we don't want you to gather it in the storehouse. Lest you what? Gather it in the field. So the Chai Adam says something very, he says, Delo asi lemiti lahatir apamakom gidulon, demakom bemakom lo machlif. And I will say, people do not confuse areas. In other words, that there is so much of a distinction between the field and your storehouse, no one will come to equate that which you do in your field with that which you do in your storehouse. Makom b'makom lo michlof. Interesting idea. So therefore, again, ma'amer is gidulei karka, grow from the ground. And number two, only gathering or only piling in the place where the object grew, where it grew / was harvested. But elsewhere, no malach of ma'amer. Incredible. V'lachein, therefore he says, muter l'kabeis peroshin esprazur abayis o b'chatzor makom echad. So we'll say, listen to this case. So imagine for a moment, you're holding a bag of apples on Shabbos, and you drop the bag of apples, right, and the apples scatter on the kitchen floor. So you'd say, you could say to you, honey, I'd love to help, but you know what? I wish I could. It's okay, you could do it. It's okay, it's fine for you, right? But for me, it's not. So we'll say, so therefore the Chai Adam says, ma'amer doesn't apply like that. Right? Why not? Because it's in your house. The malacha of ma'amer is only in the field where the object grew. He goes on, he says, ubeinyin de lovnis arev ba afar tsuros daas asr mitam borer. Okay, so he leave that aside. Aval, so okay, so the Chaya Adam brings in a couple of other interesting cases, which we're not going to get into right now. But bottom line, what we emerge from the Chaya Adam will say is, number one, Ma'amar only applies to Gidulei Karka, that's number one. Number two, it only applies, gathering or piling only applies in the place where the object grew. And number three, it does not apply anywhere else. I will say that number three is very big. Why is it very big? Because again, we would have instinctively thought that of course you cannot put something, you can't gather something into a pile ultimately, again, in your storehouse, lest you come to do it in the field. But again, Chai Adam says, makom b'makom lo mikhlef. People don't confuse spaces. Okay, let's go back there. Number four. So we'll say along this idea of Gidulei Karka, because this is going to be a little bit of a contested piece over here. So again, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos calls Abaye, Amar Abaye, ein imur elo b'Gidulei Karka. So we'll say, so again, where does the Aruch HaShulchan get this from? What's interesting also about Ma'amer is, what's interesting is so many of the halachos about Ma'amer are not mentioned explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, which is also quite fascinating. We'll get into this a little bit more next week. So Abaye says that halacha lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, Ma'amer only applies to things that grow from the ground. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in 5, 6, and 7. In each of these, seifim, the Mishnah Berurah is going to highlight a very central point. So number 5, he says as follows. He says, "Demelachas ma'amru lasaf hashibolim v'gamu ke'ein zev adavka b'makom hamisharfo sheshamu makom yidulo shalmelach dumya tishmon shabasada." Aval, this is the last line is what I want you to focus on. Aval in nispazir b'makom acher mutra lekamtzal makom echad. So I'm just showing you that the principles espoused by the Chai Adam are not just the Chai Adam, but they show up in other sources as well. So here the Mishnah Berurah says, so number one, you have the Gemara telling me that it only applies to Gidulei Karka. I was echoing from the ground. Number two, the Mishnah Berurah tells me it's only an issue of gathering if we're talking about the place where the objects grew. But if the objects are not placed somewhere else, there is no problem gathering them into a pile. Beautiful. Source number six, Mishnah Berurah himself again says now, Hainu peros, v'yirakos, v'eitzim, v'asavim, v'choldavar hagadol min hakarka. So what's that? Here the Mishnah Berurah saying, Gidulei Karka. So just pointing out again, Mishnah Berurah is just espousing the same principles as the Chai Adam. Chai Adam says, Gidulei Karka. Mishnah Berurah number 6 says, Gidulei Karka. Chai Adam said, ultimately, only gathering in the place where they grew. Mishnah Berurah number 5 said, only the place where they grew. Now take a look at number 7. This is interesting. He says as follows. He says, Harizet told us Ma'amer. Shedarkon shall also pay us the charbon ba'ofen zeh. Now, here's what's interesting. Now, why is it that the malacha of ma'amer only applies in the field? Why is that? So, Mishnah Berurah says because that's the normal way to perform the malacha. Right? Well, in general, we have this concept that one is only chayiv for malacha if it's done in the normative way. Right? If you do it in a non-normative way, that's called what? Non-normative performance of malacha, a shinui. A shinui. And once you have a shinui, it's already downgraded to a different level. So the Maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah says, the reason why the malacha of ma'amer only applies b'makom gidulon is because that's how ma'amer is done. That's how it's done. Now watch this. V'ayin b'nishmas adam, shemetzadeid da'af, kisha'osekim b'bayis, chayiv mishum ma'amer, Now, the Nishmas Adam is dealing with the following case. So what happens if, for example, you have something where it is common to gather it inside the home, just as common as it is to gather it in the field? So I'll say, interestingly enough, the paradigmatic example of this in the poskim is dried figs. What would you normally do with dried figs? What would you normally do with them? You string them together. Now, what's interesting is it was very common to string together figs inside the house. So the Nishmas Avram says that in that kind of case, one would be chay for ma'amer even in the house. So again, it's logical. What it's saying is under normal circumstances, the reason why ma'amer, of gathering only applies in the field where the object grows is why? Because that's how it's done. That's how it's done, right? And when you say that's how it's done, that's the only way it's done, right? But I'll say, just if you understand, like wheat, think about this for just a moment, right? You don't take wheat, throw it in the storehouse, and then pile it in there, right? Why not? wheat is very often, at least in Eretz Yisrael, the agriculture, wheat is often left in the field to dry, right? You don't want to put wheat that has moisture in it in the storehouse because then it rots. So it's common to pile produce ultimately in the field. And therefore, if you pile it instead in your home, that's not the malacha. All the Nishmas Avraham is pointing out to us is if you have the type of produce that is normally piled inside of the home, then ein achinami, you'd be chayv for ma'amr in that type of situation. So again, I don't know, but dried figs is the example that's brought down by all the poskim. So I don't know, but whatever else would fit into that paradigm would work as well. So we'll say, so take a look, 8, 9, and 10. With this, we're gonna finish up for tonight. Just as this is just an interesting aside, a fundamental machlokes about ma'amer achar ma'amer. Meaning, what happens in the following situation? Imagine for a moment, I go ahead and before Shabbos, I cut down my wheat, and I gathered my wheat into a pile. And now what happens? Now on Shabbos, a big wind comes and scatters the wheat. So now, obviously, I'd like to put the wheat back, ultimately, again, where it was. Or wheat may not be the best example, because wheat technically could be muktza, because it's not usable, but whatever, a pile of fruit, and then a wind comes and scatters the fruit, am I allowed to regather it? So we'll say this happens to be an interesting machlokes amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim regarding, is there ma'amer achar ma'amer not? In other words, do we say that once something has been gathered, so that's it, it's already gathered, and it's no longer subject to the malacha of ma'amer anymore, or maybe not. Maybe once it's been gathered, if it scatters again, there is once again a malacha of ma'amer. So Moshe, I just want to point out to you, we're not going to really do it inside. This is a machlokes between the Me'iri and the Ar Zarua. The Me'iri paskins that ein imor achar imor. Right? The Me'iri paskins, again, neither of them say it explicitly. It's more inferred from their respective positions. But the Me'iri holds that there is no imor after imor. Right? Once you've done ma'amer, that's it. Even if the pile subsequently separates, there is no prohibition of gathering it back again. And the Or Zeruah Pasch is, yes?
This means only in the place where you initially did it, though, right? Not we're not talking about we brought it into your...
No, farm. Because it seems that once you brought it in, and you want... Totally fine. Totally. Again, you might run in with certain types of produce that's not edible, you might run into mukta issues, but no ma'amer issues. Once you bring it inside, no longer subject to ma'amer. It says, Dafka b'mokom gidulon. And we'll say the Ar Zarua holds Yesh Imor Achar Imor. That ultimately, again, it is subject to the prohibition of piling, even after you've done it once before. We'll say Hanavi Paskin. So the consensus of the Poskim, is really what's brought down in source number 10, is that we are Machner to hold Yesh Imor Achar Imor. So what this would mean is if you had a pile of produce that was piled before Shabbos, and then a big wind came and went ahead and separated out, right, blew apart the pile, you would be prohibited to repile that on Shabbos itself. Yeah?
Well, what about salt left on your table with the salt?
So we're going to talk about non-gidulei karka things in Mirat Hashem, or what's the definition of gidulei karka? We'll get into that more next week in Mirat Hashem. Yes?
Regathering at the initial halakha, because you're preparing to transport it after Shabbos? You wouldn't be able to transport it without that.
I don't know. Maybe I want some of the fruits. I want to gather it together. I want to utilize it. I mean, the answer is it could be, but I think also there's...
Maybe that's why it's Ma'amra.
Yeah, no, he just holds... No, he doesn't bring down a din of achana. He just holds again. The fundamental shaila is, once you go ahead and you do Ma'amer once, do we say essentially, that's it, it is Ma'amered, or right? And that's it. Correct. So this is not, it's not a unique machlokes. We're just pointing out, what I say, but I just want to point out that Allah Almighty, we are machmir on this. And we hold yesh imor achar imor. And therefore, Allah Almighty, if you pile something, so we'll say, so you pop, again, you have a vegetable garden in your backyard. I don't know, whatever. So the particular type of vegetable that you pile up before you bring it inside, and then the wind comes and blows it apart, Allah Almighty, you would be prohibited to regather that on Shabbos itself. Chad, what were you going to say? Oh, excellent. So actually, I'm going to get to that next week, but I'll answer it now. Two. In other words, in order for something to be called a pile, you need at least two items. That's...
My follow-up to that was also going to be like, is there a way to bring it closer without considering...
Good. Hold on to that. Next week, Gemara Hashem. Let me just end off with one last piece. One last piece, just in the few moments that we have. Shabbos, say, just in general, there's an interesting discussion about what constitutes ma'amer, right? So what is gathering? How do you perform the law? So Chat already got into it. I'm going to get into it more next week. But the shear of the malacha is two items. What about the mechanism? How, in other words, I'll give you an example. Remember we learned Hilchos Muktzah, right? Muktzah, the only issue with Muktzah is what? Tiltul biyadayim, right? Technically speaking, if you want to kick a Muktzah object, technically you can, right? The only issue of Muktzah is actually moving something with your hands. But halacha lemaisa, moving it with your foot is technically not a problem. So what about ma'amer? How is ma'amer done? So what's interesting is, and this is quite intuitive, ma'amer is done any way that it's normally done, right? So that's the answer. So for example, the poskim bring down that it's common, let's say, to gather small twigs, right, with your foot. So therefore, on Shabbos, if you were to go, and I will say, by the way, I just want to point out, like, sometimes people do these kinds of things without even realizing it, right? Just like, whatever, you're standing around. So the act of kicking twigs together into a pile, ultimately, again, would be ma'amer. So that would be with your foot, right? Fruit, it's common to roll fruit, the post can bring down. So essentially, the mechanism through which you go ahead and violate ma'amer ultimately is however the particular item is normally gathered. If it's by hand, then it's by hand. If it's by foot, both, either way. All right, we'll say, first of all, on completing Malacha of Kotzer, we'll stop and we're going to spend one more week in Meretz Hashem on Ma'amer, and then in Meretz Hashem after Ma'amer, we get into Dosh, Borer. That's where the real party is going to start over there in Meretz Hashem. I'm sorry? Yeah, I just have to send it. I have it. I just have to post it. The Bechina is going to be on Zoreya and Choresh. We're going to do two at a clip. Great to see you. All right, 3 days in a row. Right? Did we see each other on Shabbos? Matzah Shabbos. Okay. I'm going to send that out. I'm going to send it out tomorrow morning in Meretz Hashem.
Is like rocks or sand, is that considered?